Take just a couple moments and invite any of the young children that we have with us tonight. If you are in elementary or younger, if you will come join me up here, I've got a treat for you. I want to sit and talk with you just for a minute. So come on up here. Osiah, come on up here. Any of the young children, if parents or grandparents have a seat, if any parents or grandparents want to come with, that's fine as well. Come on up. You're welcome to come, parents, grandparents. Come on up, have a seat. I've got a treat for you here just a little bit. All right, I love those boots. I would look good in some shiny cowboy boots. What do y'all think? All right. All right. So are y'all excited for Christmas? Yeah. You want a purple bunny? Oh. Y'all want a purple bunny? That would be amazing. Well, I want to play just a little game with you. I'm going to see if I can guess why you're so excited for Christmas, okay? You tell me if I'm right, okay? So, I think you all are excited for Christmas because you get to go to bed early tonight. Is that why?
No.
No. No. Oh. Well, let me try again. I think you all are excited for Christmas because you get to sing Christmas songs. Is that right? No? All right. Can I have one more try? All right. I think that you all are excited for Christmas because that means Christmas is almost over and you can put away all the decorations all by yourself.
No?
Well, presents. Are you guys excited because of presents? Spending time with each other. I like that. Do you guys like presents? Yeah? Well, I've got some candy cane presents for you. So you can each have some candy canes. Here, take two or three. And then ask your mommy and daddy if it's okay for you to eat it. You can have it during service if they're okay with it. And then you can go back to your seat with your family. And Merry Christmas to you. Is that for me? That is so sweet. Thank you very much. Here you go. All right. There we go. Can you get them? Take a handful. Take a handful. There we go. Merry Christmas. You can go back with your family. All right. So great to have the kids with us tonight. So Merry Christmas to them again. Merry Christmas to you all this evening. So, can you believe it? You know, Christmas is here. You know, all of the anticipation that builds up to this moment, and the moment has finally arrived. Now, for adults, maybe you're like, okay, I don't want it to come so much or whatever, but kids are super excited. But there's all this anticipation, and this anticipation has come to fruition. In my mind, you know, I was thinking about this. Anticipation is kind of a fascinating thing. And I was thinking about how there are different types of anticipation. And there's a couple different types of good anticipation. All right, there's the anticipation that comes from excitement. All right, how many of y'all have seen the movie Elf? Wave at me. All right, I love that movie. My wife doesn't like to watch that movie. She'd rather watch It's a Wonderful Life or something along those lines. But I like the movie Elf. But in Elf, there's a scene where Buddy the Elf, he goes and he works at this department store. He decorates this department store, and they think that he works there or whatever. But he hears that Santa is coming. And so he gets so excited. He gets so giddy. He starts jumping up and down, and he, like, clenches his fists. And he's like, Santa, I know Santa. I know Santa. And he was so excited. It was the anticipation, the excitement that Santa was coming. That's the same kind of eager excitement that children have as they wait not so patiently for Christmas. But it's an excitement that comes from an anticipation for something that's really, really, really good. So there's the anticipation that comes from excitement, but there's also this anticipation that comes from exhaustion. Now, this isn't as fun, but maybe some of you can relate. Here's what I mean. Maybe 2025 wasn't the year that you expected. Maybe you went into 2025 thinking, oh, this is going to be the best year ever. Now you're like, this was the worst year ever. I just can't wait to get past 2025. It's not necessarily that you're looking forward to 2026 because you think 2026 is going to be the best year ever. But rather, you look forward to it because it gives you the opportunity to kind of close the book on 2025. This type of anticipation, it awaits something good, but at the same time, it's really grounded in the hope of escaping the bad. You ever been there? Now, there are a lot of events in life that usually have one of those two moments of anticipation. But there are some events that accomplish both forms of anticipation. And one such event is the coming of Jesus. It's the coming of Jesus. Think about it. In his first coming, which is what we're celebrating at Christmas, his first coming, and also in his second coming, which is his return, both of those bring this sense of anticipation for Christ. They build up an excitement for something extraordinary. As far as his birth, it was the Messiah had finally come after centuries of prophecy and hoping and anticipation. They were excited. It was this rejoicing moment of all the angels. They were excited. But Jesus' coming also brought hope for an escape from the bad, to bring deliverance from sin, right? To put it another way, Christ's coming provides both a glorious response to an eager expectation and also a welcome relief to those who are searching for hope. So this evening, what I want to do, I want to very briefly look at a passage of Scripture that sheds light on why there is such a compelling anticipation for Christ's coming, both his first coming as well as his second. It comes from a prophecy about Jesus from John the Baptist's father. John's father was Zechariah. He was a Jewish priest. And the prophecy is found in Luke chapter 1. So if you have your Bible and you'd like to turn with me there tonight, I'm going to look at just two verses of that prophecy, verses 78 and 79. Here's what the prophecy says, speaking of Jesus. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light, speaking of Jesus from heaven, is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. All right, so according to Zechariah's prophecy, why does Jesus' coming stir up so much anticipation? It's because Jesus is the light. He's the light. The light in the midst of a world of darkness. Now understand that Jesus being declared the light is not just some loose analogy. Like, oh yeah, let's just call him the light because that sounds like the good thing to do, right? No, Jesus being called the light carries with it this significance, this great significance. And there are four main reasons why. I want to briefly highlight those this evening. First of all, the light of Jesus reflects God's mercy. The light of Jesus reflects God's mercy. Verse 78, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. See, the reason Jesus came and the reason he's coming again is because of God's tender mercy. Notice it doesn't just say mercy, it says tender mercy. It taps into the compassion of our Father. God's mercy is epitomized by the fact that in spite of your sins, in spite of your failures, in spite of your flaws. Any of you have sins, failures, or flaws? Well, I think just Steve and I think we're the only ones. In spite of our sins and our failures and our flaws, God still wants a relationship with us. Think about that. A lot of people want to discard us because we have sins, failures, and flaws. But God says, I know your sins, failures, and flaws, and I still want to have a relationship with you. And so he came to live among us in the person of Jesus. And Jesus came to live among us. Why? So that he could die for us. And it's through his death and it's through his resurrection that we can live with him forever. You know what that is? That's the gift of salvation. We talk about gifts at Christmas time. There's no greater gift than the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation is a free gift to anybody who places their faith in Jesus. It's a gift, think about it, it's a gift that's available to anyone and everyone. I'm thankful that the gift of salvation was extended to me. I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. But because of God's mercy, he gives me that free gift. He gives that free gift to you as well. Again, it comes because of his mercy. So when Jesus came to earth as the light, he did so to reflect that mercy. Secondly, the light of Jesus breaks sin's darkness. It breaks the darkness of sin. Scripture tells us in verse 79 that Jesus came to give light to those who sit in darkness. What do I mean by it breaks the darkness? You see, Jesus' light, it penetrates the darkness. You know, you have the dark room and then all of a sudden the light, it just pushes through that darkness. And when the light of Jesus' righteousness comes, you know what happens? Sin gets exposed. Now, let's be honest. Most of us don't like the word exposed. Like, I don't want to be exposed. I certainly don't want my sins to be exposed, right? That makes me feel vulnerable. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes me feel like a spotlight is on me. And so we might be tempted to have this nervous anticipation instead of a positive one. I don't want God looking at me and looking at all my sins, failures, flaws. But if that's your view, guess what? It's time to adjust that view. Why? Remember our last point. The reason Jesus came was not because God is out to get us, but to demonstrate God's mercy toward us. What a beautiful thing. The only reason that Jesus came to expose our sin is so that he can save us from it, so that he can deliver us from it. If our sin is hidden, then we tend to hang on to it. But if it's exposed, then it can be addressed so that we can be freed from it. Jesus, in his righteousness, came to expose sin so that we can be saved from it. Again, that's not something that should cause anxiety. That should be something that causes celebration, that I don't have to live in chains to my sin anymore. I don't have to live compelled to give in to darkness or compelled to give in to my fleshly desires. I can be free because of Jesus in the light of Jesus that he brings. So the light of Jesus reflects God's mercy. It breaks sin's darkness. Thirdly, it leads us to life. Verse 79, Jesus came to give us light to those who sit in the shadow of death. Now, there's very little that humans fear more than death, right? A lot of it is the unknown. For a lot of us, maybe people, you view it as final. You view death as something to be dreaded. But for those who place their faith in Jesus, you know what? Death doesn't have to be feared. We don't have to be afraid of death, but death is something that we can actually embrace when we understand that death brings us closer to Jesus. Death gives us an opportunity to be with him forever, that with Jesus, death doesn't have the final say. That when we pass on from this life, we continue living. We live in the presence of God. Death is often symbolized by darkness, but guess what? There is no darkness to be found in Jesus. Amen? Why? Because Jesus is the light, and just as light conquers darkness, so Jesus has conquered death. So we don't have to be afraid of death. See, when Jesus came as a baby, he came with the promise and the hope of bringing eternal life. And when Jesus comes the second time as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that's when believers get to experience the fullness and the full promise, the full depth of that eternal life in brand new glorified bodies and all of the blessing that comes with knowing Jesus and living forever. So the light of Jesus reflects God's mercy. It breaks sin's darkness. It leads us to life. And finally, it guides us to peace. Verse 79 says that Jesus came to guide us to the path of peace. In just a few moments, we're going to take our candles. We're going to sing the traditional Christmas hymn, right? Silent Night. Okay? We'll sing Sleep in Heavenly Peace, and some of you will doze off and fall asleep. There's just something so peaceful, so serene, so calming about that. It's this special moment of solace. And during that moment, it's almost like all of the cares of the world just strip off of us and fade away. As we light our candles and the light fills the room, it's just like the peace and the presence of God just consumes this place, and it consumes our hearts. And for a lot of us, we just want to stay in that moment, or we want to get out our lightning bug jar and take that piece and put it in there and close the lid so we can take it with us wherever we go. So when we need that piece, we just get out our jar and open the lid. And oh, I have the peace of Jesus again. The reality is, though, is we can have that peace. When we place our faith in Jesus, we have access to that peace at all times. The light of Jesus brings peace. It gives us a peace with God. It gives us a peace that comes through living in accordance with the Word of God. There's a peace that comes with that. We get an inward peace that the world will never get, that the world will never understand. So when you're looking for that moment of peace, when you're wanting to get out that jar and open the lid and experience that peace, know that you don't have to get out the jar. You can just go to Jesus. And you can sit at his feet. And you can find the peace in his presence that you can't find anywhere else. Jesus is the one who is the light. And his light reflects God's mercy. It breaks sin's darkness. It leads us to life, and it guides us to peace. In short, Jesus' coming is something that we can celebrate, and it's something that we can anticipate because it's good. And it's something good that helps us to escape from the bad, that frees us from sin, hell, death, that gives us peace even in the midst of sorrow, struggle, challenges in this life. The peace of God comes through the light who is Jesus. Who is Jesus. And Jesus is everything that we need. Jesus is all that we need.